worthy to be praised this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Again, appreciate you being here. And seems like we just flew through Thanksgiving and Christmas, and now we're here on the threshold of a brand new year. So appreciate the Lord and the opportunity for that. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19. 1 Kings, chapter number 19 this morning. We want to mention some things out of the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19. Bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll begin reading out of verse number 1 just after we pray. 1 Kings 19, verse 1 after we pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we're fully aware of the importance of this time of the service. It's time for the living word to go forth. Lord, I pray that for the next few moments that you would hide me behind the cross and gird up the loins of my mind and help me, Lord, to just be a vessel that you can use. I pray, Lord, that you would speak directly to the hearts of your people. Lord, because we've come to hear from you, we've not met in vain, we pray that we would indeed hear from you. Let us be obedient to what we hear. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of 1 Kings, chapter number 19, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." I want to stop reading there in verse number 8. That's reading 1 Kings 19, verse number 1 down through verse number 8. And this morning, I want to call your attention to a specific verse, and that is verse number 3. I want you to notice what Elijah did when word came to him that Jezebel was getting ready to kill him. In verse number 3, the Bible says, "And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life." I want to use that phrase there in verse number 3 where the Bible says, he arose and went for his life. And I want to preach a few moments on this subject. When Elijah ran away. When Elijah ran away. You know, the Bible is a book not only that shows the spiritual side of man and those whom God uses, but at the same time, the Bible is a book that shows the unspiritual side of man, even the unspiritual side of leaders and those who are in position. And in here we see that unspiritual side of Elijah. I want you to notice that from chapter number 18 to chapter number 19, we could even back up to chapter 17, that Elijah was at a specific place of blessing and influence. In chapter number 17, we know that Elijah predicted a drought, and it didn't rain. And Elijah followed the Lord's leadership, and he went by the brook Cherith. And then in chapter number 18, we see that Elijah was used in chapter number 18 to slay the prophets of Baal. And in chapter number 18 as well, Elijah called fire down from heaven. And so Israel was at a place of reformation after the defeat of the false prophets. And God was using Elijah. It was a place of influence. It was a place of blessing. And so Elijah had a great reason to trust the Lord where he was at. He was at a good place. Yes, there was battles involved. He had to, and he used his men to battle the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove. There was battle involved. There was fighting involved. But it was at the place where he ought to be. It was on the front line. Although there was battle involved, and although it was a place of warfare, it was exactly where he was supposed to be, where God was using him. It was a place of blessing. It was a place of influence. But in spite of the place that he was at, Elijah fled. Elijah, we see the unspiritual side of him. And he had a moment of weakness. He had a moment of fear. And Elijah was now a runaway. And there are many people that aren't here this morning that are runaways from God and his will. And you may be here this morning and you may be here in body. But spiritually, you're a runaway. There are some things in your life that you are running from. And so the question is this morning, what is it that you're running from? We see Elijah, he was a runaway. And we see, though, that in our life, there's moments of weakness. Listen, Elijah, I'll give him this. Elijah did not want to be slain by the enemy. I'll give him that. He did not want to be captured. He did not want to be a public display of God's servant being slain. And so he wanted God to take his life, not publicly, but privately. Elijah wanted to die. Has there ever been a time in your life, maybe not you wanted to die, maybe you did experience those emotions, maybe, but maybe you just wanted to run away. Maybe you wanted to run away from the cares you're facing, the concerns, the worries. Maybe there's some financial difficulties you're experiencing and you just want to run away. Maybe there's some family difficulties and things aren't shaping up in the family and you just want to run away. I want to say for God's people, we are not to run away, but we are to be people who stay and fight. Stay and fight for your family. Stay and fight for your finances. Stay and fight for your church. God's people aren't to be runaways. I jotted down a little note here. God spoke to me last night, and the note just simply says, if we are upon the ground, then we are under God's eye. In other words, we're not dead yet. And if we're alive and we belong to the Lord and we're His children, we are above the ground and we're under His watchful eye. And the battle may get hot in 2020. The battle, and listen, things may not conclude in 2019. This battle that you're in, the battles that I face, may carry into 2020, but at least you're fighting. At least you're battling. Don't ever get to the place where you give up battling and you give up fighting. There is no neutral position in Christianity. You're either moving forward or you're backsliding. There is no fence straddling in Christianity. There is no middle grounds. You are either moving forward or you are drifting backwards. We see that Elijah was a runaway. And so what did Elijah do? What are some things that we can glean from the life of Elijah this morning as he was a runaway? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. There's at least four things that surround this subject, and I pray that it'll be an encouragement. That's my desire, at least. I mentioned this in the introduction, but I do want to back up and for the sermon's sake and mention this point again. But in chapter number 18, we see the success of Elijah. Notice, if you would, in verse number 38. We see that Elijah calls fire from heaven. The Bible says in verse number 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench." Elijah had a contest. The prophets of Baal and the prophets of Grove that ate at Jezebel's table. He said, listen, in fact, in verse number 21 says so. He says, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If your Lord be God, then let him answer by fire. If my Lord be God, let him answer by fire." And the contest was, you know, and then Elijah began to mock the false prophets because the fire wasn't falling when they requested it. In verse number 27, in fact, he says, "And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud. For he is a God, either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked." Elijah was mocking him. He had boldness. But then we know that Elijah called on God and the fire fell. This was a time of success in Elijah's life. Do you remember those times spiritually? When you went into your prayer closet and you called on God and he came down in your life? You remember the times where you used to walk in victory and God gave you the victory in some areas, but now you're a spiritual runaway. You have backslid in some areas and you're not able to call that fire down like you used to. You remember in the Old Testament. We're in the Old Testament. But Samson was one. And the Bible says that many times he would go out and he would shake himself and the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him mightily. Well, there was a time where Samson still thought he had that touch. And he went out to shake himself as other times and wist not that the Spirit had departed from him. Not talking about losing your salvation by no means, but losing your communion, losing your touch of God, where at one time you was able to say, "Lord, help me, the devil's on my back," and the devil fled. But now you're at a place in your life. You have given grounds to the enemy. You have let loose the floodgates of sin. And things have crept in your life. And because of that, you're calling out to God. But you're calling out to God as a fence straddler. You can't do that, friend. You have to do one or the other. You have to sell out to God or turn your back on God. And if you turn your back on God, your life will never be the way that He intends for it to be. Turning your back on God is not even an option this morning. Because you see, when someone sins or someone lives a life to themselves, it not only affects them, but it affects their family. It affects their friends. No man sinneth and dieth to himself. We all affect one another with the decisions we make. And so Elijah had success. He called fire down from heaven. But then in verse number 40, I want you to notice, Elijah used his men to slay the false prophets. In verse 40, "And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. He experienced victory, death of the enemy, called fire down from heaven. Verse number 41, we see that Elijah announces the forecast that now it's going to rain. Look in verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Elijah was not only a prophet of God, but he was the weatherman. He'd call it. It's not going to rain today. It's going to rain. Just like that weatherman this morning. I was telling somebody a moment ago. He's a fairly new Fox 5 man, but he stood right in front of Sunday. I couldn't see the 7-day spread. He was standing right in front of Sunday, said, everybody have a good Sunday. I didn't know what the weather was going to be. I knew it was raining outside. He came up another time. Hey, everybody, have a great Sunday. Right in front of Sunday, I couldn't see it. And then finally, I told Christy, I said, somebody needs to tell that man to move. I can't see the weather. And then he was over here. He said, everybody have a great Sunday. Elijah was a weatherman. Spiritually, God used him. He called the shots. He spoke the things that weren't as though they were. So we see Elijah at a place in his life of success. But then, and noticing you, if you would, in verse number 46, Elijah awaits Ahab at the entrance of Jezreel. Now, after he calls the fire down from heaven and announces the forecast, he runs 16 miles to Jezreel. Look at verse number 46. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And if you do the measuring and the reading, you'll know and read after commentators that that is some 16 miles. Now, I don't know what a marathon race is. I think it's 25 miles. I'm looking at Brother Don, that new knee. He's getting ready to go. Gallop. I know a 5K is 3 miles. Now, he ran in between a 5K and a marathon. Elijah did nonstop. And in fact, he went ahead of Ahab, and he was waiting there at the gates for him. Elijah knew what it was like to sprint for Jesus. He knew what it was like to have Jesus in his life, the Lord in his life. He had a spring in his step. He was calling the forecast, calling fire down from heaven. All the enemies were being slain by his words, go get them, men, get them. You know, Elijah had victory over the enemies. So many times in life, we do have victory. And I'm pretty sure we could go around the room this morning and we can sound off, starting with Brother Charlie and Brother Don and so forth, of how many times that God came through for you in your life and how many times that you didn't deserve to be blessed, but God blessed you anyway. And all the times that you wanted to say yes to temptation, but you said no. We could go around the room and we all could testify that we've all had victories in our life. Amen? All of us. But we see that Elijah had success. I want you to notice number 2 in chapter number 19. Not only do we see the success of Elijah, but we see the scare of Elijah. The scare. In verse number 1, I want you to notice Ahab went and told wife what was wrong. Ahab was a little scaredy cat. Notice what he said. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel. So now the wife is having to take care of the issues here. The wife is being in charge. Although she's a real Jezebel, she is assuming the position. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Let me say this about the scare of Elijah. Elijah, no doubt, was scared. He went from Mount Carmel calling fire to running away from Jezebel. One woman, one person. I do not believe Jezebel was literally going to carry through with these orders on the first. I believe that, I mean, Jezebel, she witnessed, she heard from Ahab how all the prophets were slain. And how that God had intervened and God is now predominant. And there's been a reformation in the area. The groves are gone. Listen, and licked up the water and the fire and the sacrifice. And God was using Elijah. I believe in a heated moment, in an argument between husband and wife, Ahab went running his mouth to Jezebel. And Jezebel, being an evil queen, spoke and said what she said. I do not believe she wanted to waste her time with it. I believe in a fit of anger at this particular moment, she just wanted to get the prophet of God off her doorstep. And she said that she was going to kill him, just like the prophets were killed. Her prophets, the false prophets. And so we see here that there was a scare. Notice in verse number 2. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. There he was at the gate of Jezreel. Saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also. Well, it was just disproved about her gods. Her gods can't do nothing. They don't answer by fire. She wasn't intentional. She really wasn't going to go after him, although she could have if she wanted to. Okay, in verse number 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And then in verse number 3, and when he saw that, he was at the gate, in God's will, called fire from heaven, slain the false prophets. He was getting ready to meet Ahab face to face. And there was a moment of weakness in his trust with God. He literally got scared off the scene. And I want to say that that is exactly the enemy's intention. He cannot destroy us. He cannot get to us. So he tries to create an atmosphere of doubt, an atmosphere of worry, an atmosphere of fear. The enemy does. He tries to create that. And Jezebel, her number one priority in this, she wanted Elijah to believe he was over. And so does the enemy this morning. He wants you to be convinced that it's over for you. No more victory in your Christian life. No more moving forward with Jesus. Yeah, the past victories, but what about the present and the future? The same way Jezebel did that to Elijah. Wanted to just blow him off the scene. Blow him out of God's will. Get him off that beaten path of serving the Lord by which God was using him. That is the same way the devil does today. He is wanting to create doubt. He is wanting you to believe you're done. He wants you to believe your family's done. He wants you to believe your marriage is over. He wants you to believe your home is done. But listen, I got to say this, that's all the devil can do is say something. Try to convince that to you. But if you are a child of God, you are above ground and you are under His watch care. The Lord wants to fight the battle for you. He wants to get in your family and win. He wants to get in your own life and win. The Lord Jesus wants to take the wheel. Won't you just give Him the wheel this morning? Give Him the wheel. We see Elijah, he was scared. Jezebel wanted him to believe he was going to die, to remove him from his steadfastness in his good work. I want you to notice also under Elijah's scare, down in verse number 4, we see that Elijah, when he should have stayed and fought in God's perfect will, he left, and God left Elijah to himself for a while. Verse number 4. But he himself, in verse number 3, we read that he arose and went for his life. He left his servant at a specific location. Listen, Elijah wanted to quit. Elijah wanted to give up. Elijah was stuck somewhere between not wanting to be a public example and wanting God to take him into sleep. You don't have to raise your hand this morning, but have you ever been there? You didn't want to bring shame and reproach to the name of God for serving Him in the years that you have, but yet you pray, Lord, just take me in my sleep. That's where Elijah was at. He was in between not wanting to bring shame on the cross of Jesus, but yet he wanted the Lord to take him in his sleep. And he had a moment of weakness, and he was scared. He thought his life was over. Evil Jezebel had sent word. And now Elijah is all to himself. And I believe God did that for a reason. Notice again in verse number 4. Back in verse 3, he left his servant at a location. Now he is retreating all to himself. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." I don't know anything, or I don't know a whole lot about a juniper tree, but I'm starting to think we have one in our neighborhood. It may sound weird, but it's from what I see and gather and look, they're pretty low. They can hang low to the ground. And so Elijah had to get really, really low to get under that juniper tree. He was crawling. I mean, he was on his belly, ready to quit, ready to give up. He was a runaway. He was in between two opinions. He didn't want to die publicly. He wanted to die privately. So we see that there was a scare here. Many times God allows us in our wrong decisions. Many times God allows us even not so much wrong decisions as just spiritual fatigue. You know, trying to be the right leader, trying to be the right parent, trying to be a parent, trying to be a husband, wife, spouse, trying to be this, and trying to be on the clock every day at work, trying to make all things right, keep them right. Sometimes there's spiritual fatigue. And sometimes if you're not careful, the enemy can get in there and whisper, "It's over. It'll never be like you want it to be. So why even try?" If you're not careful, you'll get to a place of being in neutral, in complacent, not feeling like you belong anywhere. People are talking about you, but all along it's being removed from that close fellowship with the Lord. And so, verse number 4, Elijah was there. God gave him some time to wallow. Are you wallowing this morning? Are you at a place where you're wallowing in between two decisions? How are things? I wonder if we could ask, if the prodigal was here, let's ask him, if he were here, how was it wallowing in the pig pen? Did you like the smells of the pig pen or the supper at Papa's house? How was the pig pen, prodigal? Was that mud and slop comfortable, or that nice and warm bed at Daddy's house comfortable? How was it, prodigal? You see, Elijah, in a sense, was a prodigal here. He was under the juniper tree, off of the firing line. And he was scared, running from Jezebel. A false threat got him out of the race. But there's something else I want you to see here. Not only do we see the scare of Elijah in verse number 1 through 4, but in verse number 5 through 7, we see the safety of Elijah. In verse number 5, the Bible says, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree," right in the middle of his wallowing around, right in the middle of Elijah saying, "God, I'm waiting. Here's the white flag. Come and get me. Just in case you can't see me, take me while I'm asleep tonight. I'm done." In the middle of Elijah giving up on Elijah, an angel touched him. Verse number 5, "And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him," get this, "arise and eat." In other words, "I'm not done with you, Elijah. You may be through with you, Elijah, but I'm not through with you." You see, God sent his angel there to touch Elijah. Elijah put his own self in this situation, but in spite of his own decisions, God touched him through this situation with Elijah under this juniper tree. And through Elijah praying what he prayed, God did not answer that prayer because God was not through with Elijah. This morning, God is not through with you. You may want to give up. Your prayer last night may have been, Lord, take me before I awake, and here you are. And you may continue that prayer to tonight. Lord, take me when I'm asleep. But I want to say, if you are a child of God, life and death are in the hands of the Father. You cannot rush your death day. Many people do. And they die a premature death. But God was not through. God's not through with you this morning. God wants to use you. He will not grant a prayer, take me when I sleep, just because of how things ended up at the last place. Or the last situation. Or the last predicament. It didn't go right. Elijah fled. He was full of fear. He wanted to die. But God said, no. Wake up. Wake up, Elijah. I have a plan for you. I have a purpose for you. This morning, whoever you are, that's at Calvary Baptist Church, listening online. Hopefully there's a few. This morning, God has a plan for you. He doesn't want you in depression. He doesn't want you in discouragement. He doesn't want you to wallow around in past failures and fears. He wants you to get up and go for Him. Amen. God was not through with Elijah. God's not through with you this morning. And so we see that there's safety here. In verse number 5 and 7, his prayer was denied. Verse 5 says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Look at verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. God had a purpose for him. The journey is too great for thee, meaning that God had some more mountains for him to climb. God had some more valleys for him to go through. But I truly believe that God had some more fire that was going to fall from heaven when he called upon his name. God has some more victories for him to win. And God has some more battles for him to go to and engage in. And God was using him as an influence and a leader. And it wasn't time for him to go. And so God denied his request and said, arise, because the journey is too great for thee. God has your journey planned out this morning. God has your purpose planned out. And it's by his grace and strength. Listen, if you are under a juniper tree, so speaking, this morning, God has allowed you to be left to yourself for a while so that you might discover you can't do it. You cannot kick that habit by yourself. You cannot be the worker you need to be within yourself. And you cannot be the parent, the husband, the wife. You cannot be the employee, the school student. You can't be anything. So there's a wrestling. And then we see that God denied his prayer because God wasn't through with him. Notice, if you would, verse number 6. The Bible says, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Angel cake. Angel cake. I know that's what y'all are thinking. Angel cake. It was there. And whenever I'm down, I eat angel cake. I'm trying to eat an apple. But y'all just wait for 2020 to get here. Hey, wide open. Angel cake. You see, in spite of Elijah's disobedience, God still fed him. Still fed him. In spite of our disobedience, God still made sure you had a good Christmas. In spite of my no's when I should have said yes, in spite of my yeses when I should have said no, God still made it able for me to go get me a new shirt and tie for church today. In spite of our failures, in spite of our fatigues, in spite of our weak frame and our mental state of mind, we carry those in the ministry, especially know what I'm talking about. God still clothes you. He clothed your children. When you go home this afternoon, probably after you eat lunch, there's going to be more food that you have at your house. There's going to be electronics. There's going to be electricity. There's going to be furniture, a bed to sleep in, spouse to hold. In spite of us, God still blesses us. And it's this kind of blessing from God that leads us to repentance. God blesses and God makes sure that we have everything we need. But you see, as a response of a child of God, we are to show forth praise and honor and glory to Him for providing. For it's a fearful thing to fall to the hands of an angry God. And so we see here that Elijah, he was fed, but then in verse number 6 and 7, he was given rest. In verse 6, and he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. A second nap. God was giving him rest. I mean, he was at a place of fatigue and worry, fret and fears, but yet God was feeding him. God was waking him up. Elijah, no. Get up, boy. Get up. Here's a meal. Here's what you need. Wake up. But then he went back to sleep. God allowed him to get a second nap. And God had a way of restoring and replenishing Elijah. In Psalm 23, verse number 2 and 3 speaks of, the Bible says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. We serve a God this morning who, in spite of how we feel and in spite of where we're at mentally, we have a Father. If He is your Father, we have a Father who takes care of our needs, who gets down to where we're at. He allows us to wallow until we're ready to come back to Him. Same thing as the impotent man, the lame man who lay by the pool of Bethesda for 30-something years. Jesus walks by and He says this. Justin Hale's paraphrasing. Excuse me. He says, what shall I do for thee? And the Bible says that He took up His bed and walked. Rise up and walk. You know what the key to that is, in my opinion? Is that Jesus showed up at the right time. And that man was so miserable, he was ready to walk. And at the words of Jesus, take up thy bed and walk. He did so. And see, that's the key to all this. Is when we're fatigued and we're down and we're out and we're on the run, we're a runaway, we have God's Word here. And we open it. And it tells us, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'm going to get up and go. Because it's not me, it's Him. Jesus isn't physically walking by. What shall I do for thee, Justin? He's not physically walking by, but He has told me in His Word things that He has done. He died for me. He was buried on the third day. He rose again. I accepted that. Now I have resurrection power. Why am I living like I'm dead? Why am I wallowing around in discouragement? Why am I down to the nitty-gritty? And why do, oh God, please touch me today because, Lord, I wasn't in Your Word like I should have. Why? Get in His Word. Get in prayer. Stay there. Wait on Him. But because He has the resurrection power. I can do all things through Christ. Listen, He has open arms this morning. He wants you to come. He wants you to engage. He wants you to accept Him if you're not saved. But He wants you to return to Him. And that's what we see. That He gave him rest in verse number 6. In verse number 6 and 7. But then, I want you to notice one more thing. Not only do we see the success of Elijah, the scare of Elijah, the safety of Elijah, but then lastly we see the strength of Elijah. In verse number 8, the Bible says, and he arose and did eat and drink. Notice this. And went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Now Elijah ate and he drank. Elijah, he was at that messy place, but God provided a meal and nourishment. Now he ate, he drank, he's rested, and now he's on the move again. And the Bible says that he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. Elijah, if you notice, you've got to listen very carefully. There has been a change in priority. Elijah is now feasting and receiving nourishment from his relationship with God that he ate 40 days ago. There is no indication that he wanted food. There's no indication of any rest. There has been a change in Elijah from that low place. God touched him when he didn't deserve it. God fed him when he didn't deserve it. And so now we really have a turnaround from a runaway. A turnaround. Elijah is on his way to Mount Horeb. Horeb, the Mount of God. This is where Moses was at. Where Moses. Now, the Bible says 40 days and 40 nights. 40 in the Bible is a number for transformation. It was when Noah and all the animals and Noah's family was in the ark. 40 days it rained. 40 nights. 40. It was Moses on Moses on the mount with 40 days with God, received the tablets of stone. He communed with God and he had to cover his face because of the glory. It was Jesus that was in the garden. For 40 days he fasted. 40 is a number for transformation. Elijah was transformed. He was fasting. He was feasting on his relationship with God. God allowed a runaway to have a turnaround. And now he's on his way to Mount Horeb. These verses show no desire for rest, food, or leisure here. Elijah was going for an encounter with God on Mount Horeb. So we see that here in verse number 8. The Bible also says that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Elijah had a turnaround. He is now being transformed. 40 days, 40 nights. No food. Yes, he had water, but no rest, no leisure. No implication, anything toward Elijah being distressed, Elijah being with fear or doubt, no desire at all, because he's feasting on God. And we'll be surprised how little of this world we need when we're feasting upon God. How little technology we need, how little Hollywood, we don't need no Hollywood, but how little entertainment, how little, really little food we need. I mean, listen, when we are following hard after the Lord and we recognize he has turned our situation around, we will discover how little of the world we need and how much God we need. Elijah had a turnaround, but he was first a runaway. And now he's at the Mount of God, Mount Horeb. Some other things happen here, but we know that Elijah was transformed. He encountered God. The message this morning is simply this. When Elijah ran away, are you running from something this morning? I want to say, would you do an about face and just run to Jesus? Come back to him. He will feed you. He will strengthen you. And you will then begin to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you didn't really need all those things that made you what you thought happy in the world. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. I pray in the next few moments that you would speak to the hearts of your people. Let there be a liberty to come. Someone needs to come to the altar. We love you. We thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Altars.